and welcome to the Indie Film Review. With me, Dan, and of course, as always, there is Jared in the corner.
Hey, I'm just in the corner hanging out with my dunce cap. I've been a bad boy, but I'm ready for movies. I don't know.
On the show, we like to review independent film, and we reviewed a film called Murder Party.
Murder Party?
Kind of like a tea party, but instead of tea, there's murder.
Kind
of like a slumber party, but instead of slumber, there's murder. Kind of like a gender reveal party, but instead of gender reveal party, there's, why are you revealing genders, you cis motherfucker?
Oh my god. Wow.
I knew. Dude,
gender reveal parties are really stupid, let's be honest. That was intense. I'm gonna cry laughing. That was just so out of left field. Holy shit. Oh man.
I'm bringing my A game today.
Oh gosh. Oh, it's beautiful. You're a beautiful human being. Anywho, listen, if you want to have a gender reveal party, that's fine. Okay? You're weird, but that's fine, I guess. It's weird, but it's fine. All right. So,
one more for the people in the back.
Oh my gosh. I get so laughing. Oh, I can't breathe. All right. It's a podcast. We do a podcast. And we're filming movies. Okay. So we saw Murder Party in 2007. This was made by Jeremy Saliner. And he is pretty prolific. I like this guy a lot. Have you looked up his other films?
No. Do tell.
So you're going to like this. So he did Blue Ruin and Green Room.
Blue Ruin was amazing.
Yeah, and Green Room was fucking amazing. He also directed Hold the Dark, which was a not good movie. Very well directed, though. So,
that one movie that you were telling me about with the wolves?
Yeah, that movie's not worth seeing under any capacity. But it's visually very nice, and the directing is very good.
He seems to be like an indie king, then. Like, he's the king of indie movies. Or maybe not a king, but a duke.
Yeah, he just needs more under his belt to become king. I think he did several episodes of the newest True Detective, which is, I mean, season one and season three were fantastic, so good. We don't talk about the other season. Well, that other season, but yeah, he also has done a couple shorts as well that I want to see. Crab Walk and Goldfarb look really good.
Interesting
stuff he's done before Murder Party. So Murder Party was, it looks like it was self-funded. From what I saw with the documentary, because there's a little mini documentary on YouTube you can find. It's like 30 minutes long. Him and his friends all grew up making short films together. Kind of like what me and you did and some of our friends. And they would do their own squibs and just make their own silly movies. And they all decided, okay, when we get older, we're going to make a real film. And they made this. And they couldn't get funding for it initially, so they're just like, whatever, we're going to do it. And then people would just work for no money. But, so there's that. But then also I see the budget says almost $250,000 to make the movies. So I'm like, well, where did they get the budget from if they had no funding? So I was like, I'm confused. And I mean, I guess we can only speculate because I couldn't find this answer. Because the filmmakers keep saying, we didn't have any money. We're just doing it on our own. Blah, 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 blah. But then I kept seeing the budget as $250,000, which is a lot for an independent film. Like a self-funded independent film, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking the film. I'm just confused about that number and where that number came from. And like, I want to know how they got that money. I'm just curious, really, honestly. I mean, it does show in the film. There's a lot of cool special effects.
There's a lot of cool special effects in this film.
You can see where the money went, and they spent the money well. So, Dan, please tell us what Murder Party is about.
All right, so this humdrum bro who lives a humdrum single life.
Humdrum bro? Say that again?
Humdrum bro.
Can you say that three times fast?
Humdrum bro, humdrum bro, humdrum bro.
I don't know if that was very fast, but
that wasn't
he
very
did
fast.
A good job.
Anyway, he lives a single life, and he lives with his cat, Sir Lancelot.
Oh.
And one day he's walking through his neighborhood, and a party invitation just kind of sweeps by his feet. He picks it up. And he reads it, and it says, murder party at this address. And it's Halloween night. So he's like, you know what? I'll go.
Yeah.
He goes, and it turns out that the people who are at the party are waiting for him to be a victim because they're going to murder him.
Yeah. They're part of this art collective.
Yes.
That wants to impress this guy named Alexander through the ultimate act of art or whatever they're saying is by killing this dude. They're going to make him into art.
Yes.
Which is fucking crazy. So, and they're all dressed up in Halloween costumes. And that's the gist of the movie. Let's do a brief questions, and then we'll get right into spoilers.
Okay.
So, Dan, we already talked about the special effects. And we both kind of agreed that they're pretty amazing, right?
Yes.
I mean, even some of the digital enhancements they did later, I think, only complement the movie. And they used digital trickery to good effect, I think.
Maybe instead of questions, we could just springboard off of what I'm about to say.
Sure. Okay.
So the beginning of this film, I'd say the first 10 to 15 minutes have been just this independent film stink all over it. Like, the type of independent film I don't want to watch stink.
Really?
Because you follow this guy into his house, and we film every goddamn thing he does. Putting down his keys, we gotta get a B-roll of him putting his keys down, and then turning on the fucking movie, and just filming every goddamn thing for the first 15 minutes. I'm like, Jesus Christ! Stop! And then we get to the cool part where you have, you know, him being the victim, and we get to learn about all the other characters. But it takes so long to get there. And once we get there, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see where this is coming from. And what cemented this as a pretty decent movie for me, and I will say that I think this film is kind of decent, I did enjoy watching it, was the fucking, like, okay, so it's a dark comedy is what it's pitched as.
Mm-hmm.
The violence in this film works so well.
Yeah.
Because it's insane and intense. And played for laughs, and then it's not played for laughs. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's like...
So we'll talk about that, but like, there's a very big contrast between what's funny in this film and what's actually horrifying. And I don't think it blends very well, but that kind of helps the movie in a good way.
Yeah, it kind of tricks you in that way of thinking like, haha, let's laugh at this like trauma-esque thing. And then you're like, oh no, people are dying. This is really bad. Oh no, I no laugh no more. Okay, so the opening of this movie with the credits was fantastic. I fucking love that. With like the old Halloween party favors and like...
Oh no, I like that.
The font and everything.
But I'm talking
like,
about once he gets
so
into
good.
His house.
Yes, once he gets into the house, I wasn't as annoyed as Dan was with the filming every single thing. Normally I am, which is strange. I don't know why I wasn't annoyed by that. What kind of took me by surprise is what the film really was. Because, okay, so we are going to get into spoilers right now. If you want to see this movie, it's available everywhere. I would recommend this movie. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
You feel the same? Okay. I'm a little mixed on it, which I'll get into later, but if you'd like to see this movie, please go ahead. This is a spoiler warning. Now we're going to spoil it. Okay. So when he gets to the warehouse, didn't you think it was going to be like one of those movies where a bunch of people are in a warehouse and they're all going to get killed one by one, and it's like they're trapped there?
And they have to figure out how to get out.
So was that like a pleasant surprise for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, I do like those films where everybody has to get out and they have to like play on their strengths to escape. But
yeah,
I was not taken aback by the fact that it's just him showing up and they're like, oh shit, we got to kill him now.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it.
Cool. And so I think the main, two big issues I have with the film. One is the pacing is rough. It's rough for me. When he is looking for the for where the party is in the warehouse,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, get on with it. Like, how much longer do I got to see this guy walk around?
That's what I'm saying.
And find the fucking party. Like, find the goddamn party already. And then, that happens a lot in this movie where it's just like, my God, do we got to... Like, there's a chase scene later where it was, like, cool at first. And then I'm like, Jesus Christ, can we get to something else besides this chase scene? Because the chase scene goes on for so long. And just, like, nothing is happening. And that kind of is, like, interspersed between good parts of the film. And it needs to be edited more. I don't know. That's the only real thing I can think of. It's just like, cut some of this shit out. I mean, the movie's already pretty short as it is.
Yeah.
So maybe they had to pad it a bit to make it a full length runtime. It's like an hour and 19 minutes.
Yeah.
That was rough. Also, the comedy wasn't as strong as I would hope.
Oh yeah. No, a film like this that's probably the weakest part of the film. It's pitched as a horror comedy. And it's not funny.
I like smiled and chuckled at a couple things, but I wasn't even sure. Like, I didn't know what this movie was. I just went in blind, really.
Yeah, me too.
And I wasn't sure when the laughs were. Like, I wasn't even in the mindset of like, oh, this will be funny. So when they started trying to do the jokes, I'm just like, these are not, I don't know. They weren't really landing for me that much. I had more enjoyment out of the characters
mm-hmm.
and their interactions and the gore and the horror aspect of it and the special effects I thought were really fun. There's a funny scene where they're chasing. Okay. Oh, let me get into the characters here.
Okay.
This will make more sense. You have the main character who we will refer to as the Cardboard Knight because Cardboard that's how knight, he's dressed yes. as. Yeah. Or the Knight. His name is Chris, but, his real name is not that important. So then you have all the rest of the partygoers that are there, part of the artist collective, to kill him. You have Mutton Chops, who is dressed as a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
You have the werewolf guy, who is like the party drunk hobo guy.
Yep.
You have the cheerleader, who dies immediately,
yep.
which we'll get into. We have the Blade Runner lady, which was fun.
That was pretty cool, yeah.
Blade, you know. We have the Warriors guy, who's just always on his phone playing video games. It's been kind of great. Then you have Alexander, who is this pretentious piece of shit art guy who's like holding. He's like, I have a grant of money that I'm going to award to one of these artists. And like, that's the whole reason they're even doing this, is to try to get this money from this guy to impress him. And right off the bat, you're like, I fucking hate Alexander. And like, I know they're trying to make a smarmy, asshole-ish character, but you can still kind of make a character like that and make him a little likable. Like, he was just... I just wanted him to die, like, so fast. He did it too well. It was driving me crazy. Then you have his Russian drug dealer, Zyko. Which Zyko, is...
Yes.
Zyko is an amazing name. The guy is great in that role. And he just, like, stands around and acts bored until he's gonna murder someone. So those are all the characters, really. I mean, there's some little ancillary characters. There's also a dog that shows up with Alexander. So, like, they kidnap this guy, the Cardboard Knight. They're telling him, like, we're going to kill you, whatever, whatever. And then the cheerleader... Oh, so the Cardboard Knight brings raisin bread. He, like, makes it. It actually becomes
raisin in it.
Yeah, it becomes a plot point, which I'm like, I cannot believe this is a plot point. The cheerleader is eating it while they've tied him up. She's like, wait a minute, does this have raisins in it? He's like, yeah. She goes, oh no, I'm allergic. And she falls down and hits her head and just like blood, it starts spurting out of her head. She's like, what's wrong, guys? She's like, I smell like a freshly cut lawn or something. And she passes out and dies. And to not scare off Alexander when he shows up, they're like, we gotta hide this body. We killed the wrong person. So they throw her in a freezer. And that, of course, becomes a thing later on.
Yes.
And at first, I thought it was going to just devolve into like, okay, I know what this film is about. Cardboard Knight's going to be tied up. And then one by one, the other characters are just going to kill each other.
Yeah.
And
that's what I thought, too.
That, That kind of happens, but it happens at, like, the very end of the film where just, like, everybody gets fucking murdered.
The tagline of this film is everybody dies, and the warrior's character, that's all he says throughout the entire film, basically.
Yeah, you're right. He does. He really... He was an enigma to me, the warrior's guy, because what is his deal?
He's the part of the violence that I chalk up to having the most enjoyment out of.
Oh, okay. Because it seems like he hates everyone there.
Yeah.
He doesn't even want the grant. He says some crazy shit about, like, killing the dog, which he doesn't do. It's like this weird fake-out thing. And it's like everyone's jealous of his art, but then they make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of confess to him later that they're going to kick him out of the commune. So it's weird that he's even there, but I guess he has some thing where he's like, I just want to be able to kill someone because he's like fucked up. So I don't even know if he wants to do it for art. He just wants to murder everyone.
Exactly.
So he might be the only real psychopath there. And the rest of them are just like, just pretentious, like up their own ass type of people who are trying to impress this fucking Alexander guy. So, Dan, please talk to us about Alexander for a little bit and, like, his interactions with these characters.
Alexander, as Jared pointed out, is, like, this douchebag. And he comes in and fucks the Blade Runner woman.
Yeah, like, almost immediately.
Almost immediately. And the werewolf character has a crush on the Blade Runner woman, so he doesn't like that too much. And... then the next thing I remember is Alexander brings out... Well, no, he tells... Oh, shit, I don't remember.
It's the mutton chops werewolf guy.
Oh, fuck! Oh, I remember that scene. All right. So Alexander comes in dressed up in, like, you know, what a typical smarmy art dealer would dress up as.
Yeah.
And then he comes in and he sees Paul. The guy's name is Paul. And he's like... what are you supposed to be? He's like, I'm an 1800s vampire. He's like, no, that's what I am. Take your vampire fangs out. And he's like, what? He's like, take your vampire fangs out. He's like, well, I'm not going to. And then he's like, Zyko. And then Zyko pulls out a gun. No. Or does he pull out a gun?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So Zyko pulls out the gun and he's like, take your vampire fangs out. And he takes him out. He's like, good. Now take out your vampire cloak. And then he just makes Paul strip down in front of him.
Yeah,
completely emasculates the vampire of his clothes.
It's just to show like his dominance or whatever. And then later on, he has sex with that him. Character.
Yes, well, because that they basically play extreme truth or dare, where they have like the truth serum thing, and they all inject themselves with it. And with Paul's thing was, oh, I'm bisexual, and I think most people are.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah, that does tie together. Gotcha. Yeah, boy, what did you think about that truth serum scene where they're all kind of in a circle?
Could have been cut, lasted a little bit too long. I mean, I liked the fact that they all had it and they kept saying, like, after sitting in a circle and they are doing things and they're still shouting out truth to each other, that was cool. But we didn't need a fucking come together moment and sing Kumbaya. With
the film felt like it stalled really hard at that scene. Yeah. And I was like, please get to whatever is next. Cause this is rough. I was having a hard time. It was just boring. I don't know. Like they were trying to be funny, I guess. And I was like, oh geez, well, okay. Please.
So let's next talk scene. About some of the crazy shit that happens.
Okay.
First thing we're going to talk about is the Wolfman. I don't remember how, but he goes outside and he lights himself on fire somehow.
He had covered himself in alcohol.
Because he's like just guzzling it. It's straight liquor that he's just guzzling and it's all over himself.
He's completely drenched, in alcohol. And he goes to smoke a cigarette outside like an idiot.
Okay. Like an idiot.
And he has his wolf mask on and he melts himself and they put him out.
He melts the wolf mask onto his head and he becomes so cool. A special effects extravaganza for the remainder of the film. And I was so happy to see it. It was amazing.
I mean, yeah. And then he's running around with a chainsaw and it was like fucking rad. I mean, he doesn't get to use the chainsaw, but another character does, which is kind of cool.
Well, so He doesn't, yeah, you're right. He doesn't get to use it.
They trivialize him, and I was like, I wanted him to have a bigger part, but he was more of like there for laughs, I guess.
Basically, shit happens, and everybody, like, shit hits the fan, everybody starts to die because they made fun of the art of that Warriors character, and he saw them make fun of it, so he's kind of like pissed off, and he starts killing everyone.
Yeah.
And there's this extended scene where he's just smashing something with a baseball bat. And you're like, holy fuck. And it won't stop. He's just ramping up the violence to 11. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. And then you get the reverse shot finally. And you see it's the cake that they brought in. And you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, thank God. But then later in the film, maybe 20 minutes later, he's in a room full of people at a different art exhibit trying to kill the knight that escapes. And he fucking murders everybody with the same fervor. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Because blood flies everywhere. And I'm like, this is insane. So those, like, juxtaposing that level of violence where it's just a cake and then the real thing blew my mind. I was so enthralled by that.
Yeah, that violence was fucking intense. It was crazy. And I that whole moment when everything kind of goes off, that's when the movie really kicks into high gear. Yeah. I mean, there's some other parts in between, like when the knight escapes for the first time and they're looking for him. And there's a scene where the girl is like, he's right there. He's like hiding behind some cardboard boxes. Yeah. That was kind of funny. And he runs away. That was dumb. So some of it worked.
Zyko kills Paul first. So whenever the shit hits the fan, Zyko kills Paul, and he shoots Paul in the head, and Paul just is bleeding like Monty Python blood and still alive. I'm like, really?
Yeah. He turns around, he's like, just let me get my shot. And it's like blood coming out of his head. That was kind of fun. So what like triggers everything too is, so like the Warriors guy is mad. They somehow give truth serum to Alexander, because he had pretended to take it before.
Yeah, that's right.
And didn't take it. And then he confesses that he's full of shit, that Alex is not even his real name, and he's just some fry cook, and he doesn't know anything about art. And he confesses that his real ploy was he was going to kill all of the artists there and take all their art because it would be worth more after they were dead. But I'm like, they're not... Are they even, like, that prolific or well-known artists? I don't know, it's kind of strange. Because then it's like, how do you even explain, like, you killing them all? And, like, there's a lot to that plan that could go wrong. But that was his plan. So then he tells the Russian guy to fucking start shooting them all. And that's when everything kind of goes haywire, right?
Yeah.
It was still a really fun scene. And it was, like, just nuts, out of control. What did you think about... I mean, did you think there was going to be a nightclub scene in this?
I really didn't think so. There was going to be a nightclub scene. But that was the rival's party. Like, apparently there's another art dealer that's what it was. It was that guy's party, and then the knight escapes into that club, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the baseball guy and the werewolf guy follow him in there.
Yeah. And, He goes into that room with, like, all of the naked women, and they have, like, their breasts all, like, painted, and it's all, like, weird and artsy, and that was supposed to be the thing. And then they have that big fight in there where the warrior guy just goes nuts, and he's just killing them all, and he gets, you know, they fight with a chainsaw or whatever. And I like how that becomes the art installation of people coming in and like, oh, wow, it's this is really nice. What did you think about the art aspect? Because they really hit on that a lot. It feels like the film is putting an eye on the pretentiousness of art. But
so this would be the third film that we cover. Well, maybe not the second film on this podcast, but like it reminded me a lot of Velvet Buzzsaw and Deep Dark.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In that regard, like they were trying to make a point about the art world and everything that goes on in the art world. But I don't think that came across too strongly, and maybe it was just like a lost message, so to speak.
It was weird. Like, I wish they would have focused more on the horror killy aspect and less about like this art comp, just the whole idea of the art commune. And I guess they were, because they're trying to find a reason for them to come together and like fucking kill this guy.
Yeah,
some of it worked and some of it didn't. That's what I'll say. I mean, I didn't hate it because I liked a lot of the ending. I think the ending was like really fun. The main thing I didn't like was Alexander and how pretentious he was, but that was on purpose. Like you weren't supposed to like him.
Right.
But boy, was he a frustrating character. Just like, oh, I hate this guy. So I was happy when that dog finally ripped him apart and like ripped his fucking jaw off. That was such like, a cool
the
effect.
Dog ripped him apart because he got crank from Nico and he just left it on the ground and the dog took the crank.
Yeah. So you got a crank dog. Oh, crank dog. So that was fun. Dan, was there any other scene you wanted to tackle before we close this biatch up?
Because
it's a pretty simple movie. There's not a lot really to talk about.
Not a lot happening. It's a short film, too.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Just compared to some other films we watched recently, this is just a... It's, if you want to see a horror movie, boom, that's what that is. Bang.
Yeah.
Comedy, horror is there.
No, I don't think I have anything else.
Hmm.
Do you?
I mean, this film was well shot. I thought... Everything about it was done very professionally. That's like, again, like I said, I was a little like how did they get like dolly shots and how did they get these like really good shots without money? I know I keep bringing it up. I'm sorry. But I'm like, who funded this movie? So like the way they shot the film was amazing. And I mean, like I said, we already praised the director. He's wonderful. Right. And he's already done some really amazing things. And I'm very interested in seeing his shorts. But this movie, I would have to say, is just okay to me. I thought it was all right.
I agree. It was okay. It just, like I said, the level of violence is what kept me engaged throughout. I was just taken aback by how violent it was. I was not expecting it at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess that was final thoughts, right? Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate everybody who tunes in, and, you know, without you, we are nothing, huh? Just like the Fanatic.
What? Just like the Fanatic. Oh, my God.
That's right. It all comes full circle. So if you want to find us, we're on Facebook at IndieFilmReview@Facebook.com. Twitter, we're at IndieFilmPod.
Instagram, we're at IndieFilmReviewPod.
Yes. Gmail at TheIndieFilmReview@gmail.com.
IndieFilmReview.podbean.com. Find us on Spotify, where you listen to your music.
Oh, yes. We're so musical. We'll sing to you. I will sing to you for money. It's a side business I have. I'm on Fiverr. I'll sing happy birthday to you until you pass out. How about that?
Happy fart day.
Please check out the Necropodicon.com. That's where we are hosted. We're partnered with them. They're the best. We love all of them. Really great podcasts over there. We're growing, we're showing all the time. We're getting bigger, getting longer for you.
Getting more turgid.
Yeah, getting more turgid. And we are adding a bunch more podcasts, and they're going to be branching out in genres. Right now it's like D&D, horror, comedy. We want to get into like true crime and video games and stuff like that. So it's exciting, you know? And everyone there is very talented and certainly worth watching. I think so. Check them out. Go to our website. I mean, you can check out our bios. You can learn more about us and discover some podcasts, man. Why not? What else you got going on right now? Come on.
Right.
Let's be honest. What are you gonna, pay your child support?
Yeah.
Not likely. Come on.
Exactly.
You're gonna sit at home, drink milk and, eat candy corn and yell at your cat while you're listening to the Indie Film Review. That's what you're going to do. All right. So thank you again, Dan. You have the final word.
I don't think I can talk. You know what? No, you have the final word this week.
Fuck
I
you.
I had a crazy intro.
All right. There comes a time in a man's life where he's got to put on a cardboard night outfit and go to a strange warehouse at the edge of town because he's lonely and he doesn't have any friends. And he's got to get almost murdered by a bunch of art hippies. And that time is never, because I went to therapy and now I feel a lot better. about myself.
Hi there, this is Nick from the Role Playing Guys podcast. The show you just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network. Our shows range from tabletop RPGs to movie reviews, audio dramas, and more. Find more great shows on necropodicon.com. There's something for everyone in the Necropodicon Network. Again, that's Necropodicon, like Necronomicon, but take out the nom and put in a pod.